Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. Once again, I want to welcome each and every one of you after the vacation. The Lord will continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. If God has not been on our side, what would they say? God has been with us. We have traveled far and near. The presence of God has prevailed. We give glory to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to bless your holy name and thank you, Lord, for this moment, for your message, for your word that we want to hear. As we speak, Father, we pray that you will interpret every word that comes out from here in the mighty name of Jesus. What you have for your people, Father, you will speak it into their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. As this word is being passed, Lord, it shall be firmly rooted and planted in our heart in Jesus' name. At the end, your kingdom shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, "Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord." It's a popular song that we sing as well. From time to time, we have been having generation to generation. When we were growing up, maybe I should be personal now. When I was growing up, I used to hear people of 16th century, 18th century, 17th century, then 19th century, then 20th century. At a point, something changed. After 20th century, what happened? Who can tell me? Millennium. Right? I think millennium. So, these are the trend that we are seeing different kind of changes. But these days, I'm not hearing of 20th century, millennial, everything. A lot of things are happening. As I prepare for this message, I try to talk to some of our children, NG4C, and I'm glad that I was told that this message, whatever I'm saying now, part of it have been relayed to our children in the Friday class by Brother Pradeep sometimes back. But God still laid it upon my mind to speak to our children as they'll be moving back to their classes next week. So different kind of generations we have seen. Like I said, how many of you understand when they say dude? Dude, what does it mean? Let's speak. Friends, right? I just learned about it. Because I don't belong to that kind of generation. So different kind of things, even in the mode of dressing. I appreciate the Indians for one thing, now that we are majority Indians here. The dress, Sister Avemati, what is it called? Sari, that trend, because when we had some science teachers when I was in secondary school, we used to see that, even some missionaries back home in Nigeria, we used to see that kind of dress, they maintain it. But when you look at what is happening now, you will discover that there are modernization to this sari, maybe, some kind of modernization. I will tell you why I said so. When my wife first stitched sari, struggling to do it. But after some time, that's already made. Thanks to Sister Teresa. Already made. These are the kind of trend that is going on. And the same thing, all this thing that is happening during our time is happening because there's nothing like internet. There's nothing like so many things that is there now. So it may happen within a certain geographical location. So I discovered that I was talking to somebody, a young chap. We are talking about the Jesus. Then the next thing he said that, oh, that is bad. I was shocked. I said, what is bad about Jesus? He said, no, you don't understand. I'm not saying he's bad. That is the trend. I mean that is perfect, that is good. It's okay. I think you are confusing me. So many of us, we get confused with whatever is going on now. In the course of making this message, I asked somebody to give me some clue. I hope it opens. You must open in Jesus' name. So I was made to understand the older generation. Maybe, I don't know what Pastor Abraham generation we belong to now, because they said older generation, where they talk about the groovy, far out, cool. Maybe I'm a man of 19th century or 20th century. I may not know some of these things. Then I was made to understand that there's Generation X. I know of Millennium. I don't know of Generation X. I was made to understand there's Generation X, Millennium, and now Generation Z, which we call what, children? What? Gen Z. Hallelujah. Amen. So having said this, I won't go to some of the details that I've gathered here, but the Bible has been written long time back. When the end of the world is coming era, what is the Bible saying? There will be rumor of what? Wars. Bible has been written long time back. Are we saying we are getting closer to the end? The word of Bible remains the same. But the way we are growing up now, the way our children are coming up, even some of our young adults and some of us, we copy whatever is there. So there is still need for us to speak boldly about the scripture. Because I keep wondering when I was talking to a young man, a children rather, I think he's above 18, he's a young man. And he said, that is bad. I said, what is bad? I said, you are confusing me. He spoke some other things which I could not remember now. He's trying to give me more clue. And this is part of what made me to go to this message today. And the topic for today is speaking the language of heaven in a world of strange voices. Speaking the language of heaven in a world of strange voices. There are a lot of things we are hearing. A lot of us, we copy different things without even knowing what it means. In the course of doing this, I discovered, I've been hearing the word do that, I never pay attention until when I was preparing for this. So a lot of things we've been saying that we may not know what it actually means. The main text for today is Ephesians 4, verse 29, which reads, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. That is what the hearer will hear from you, and the kingdom of God itself will be glorified. This message is not to blame the children. This message is not to condemn the children. This message is not to condemn the children generally. But it's just to remind them that it is not everything that we see at times that we copy. Sometimes we have to, before we say anything out through our mouth, definitely we have to think about it. No matter how fast talking you are talking, your brain will process it. So that means whatever we are seeing, it is not everything that we must say or copy or whatever is going on. It's not everything. So like I've been saying, every generation develops its own expression. During my time, we call it slang. We call it different type of slang. But today, like I said, the Gen Z, use words and phrases that they learn from friends. Is it friend only? No. Music. And what else? Children? Tick. Tick. TikTok, right? Let's speak. Don't be afraid because you are sitting with your parent. Don't worry, just face me. TikTok and what? Instagram, okay? God bless you. YouTube. Are we afraid? This is what we are doing secretly. Let us speak out. Another social media, to cut it short. Many of these expressions that being said within this kind of platform appear harmless. But some can carry the meaning that sometimes promote disrespect. Sometimes carry immorality, even at times pride, profanity, occultic references that it carry. At times it also carry violence or rebellion offenses. These are the kind of things that you just speak to somebody because you are following the trend. He might be hurting that person. So, children of God, the problem is not simple using new word. The real question is, does my language glorify God or the world? Whatever you are saying, can you say it boldly? Because some of us, when we are with our parents or when we are within the church premises, we try to pretend. We try to say something that, yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But when we are outside, different kind of thing. What we have to think of is that what I'm about to say, or what I'm saying, or what I'm going to say, does that language glorify God, or it is worldly language? So as Christians, God has called us to speak differently because we belong to different kingdom, which is heavenly kingdom. Philippians 3:20. For our citizen is where? It's in heaven. Our citizens is in heaven. So if we really belong to heaven, we are going to talk about 7 points which reveal what we should be speaking. That is this, to speak the language of heaven. Number one, next slide. Your mouth reveal your heart. Matthew 12:34.
Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Jesus Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What does this mean? What does it mean? That is, whatever fill your heart will eventually come through your what you speak out. Whatever is in your heart, it is what you will pronounce out. So if our conversation are filled with insult, where is that insult is coming? It's coming from our heart. It's coming from our mind. If it's filled with the vulgar expression, it is also coming from our heart and our mind. Is it abusive language or abusive slang or sometimes ungodly joke? This is what is in our heart. Then, that kind of heart need Jesus cleansing. It needs to be clean. It's not just that when you are here, I remember Brother Claudio was giving one message here, mirror, for those of you who can remember. We are something when we are here, but something when we are out. So, is it whenever we are here, we are different. When we are outside, we are different. So, if our hearts are full of Christ, our words will naturally glorify Him. In 2021, we traveled to Nigeria, and it was during COVID, and we went to one Balogun market in Lagos with my wife and my daughter. We were moving. It's a very crowded area that you have to hold yourself before you don't get missed because of the kind of crowd that was there. Unfortunately, I think my wife mistakenly pushed somebody's goose. Then the woman shouted. Oh, my wife said, "It's covered with the blood of Jesus." The next thing the woman will say, "Oh, amen, that is mother of Jesus." What comes out of your mind or your mouth when somebody mistakenly talks something to you, maybe abuse you? Your instinct, what is dwelling in you, is what is going to come out immediately. So, brethren, if our heart is full of regular word or is dirty, that is what is going to come out. This is not just for the children, for each and every one of us. So our heart, we speak, our mouth will speak what is in our heart. Imagine when you excuse sugarcane. Yeah. When you squeeze sugarcane, what will come out? Sweet, something like sugar, right? How many of us know bitter leaf? It's a common thing in Nigeria. Bitter leaf is something that is very, very bitter. When you squeeze sugarcane, bitter leaf will never come out. Okay, let me come down to our level. You put orange in the squeezing machine, and you are doing, will apple come out? The answer is no. So whatever is in our mouth, in our mind, that is what we be. Children of God, when life kills you, the situation you are kills you, what comes out of your mouth? How did you react to that life that is squeezing you? Many of us, we are going through something that we were not even expecting it, but it happens all of a sudden. Do you start to blame God? Do you start to condemn that, God, I'm praying to you and this is not happening? So what comes out of your mouth? Is it praise? Is it anger? Is it profanity? Is it insult? Is it gossip? So our world reveal what is inside. What we say reveal what is truly inside us. Our words are often reflection of our heart. A heart filled with love, faith, gratitude, and God's word. We naturally produce word that do what? That encourage. If you see somebody in distress, in problem, when your heart is filled with love, faith, gratitude, what we follow is that naturally you will encourage that heart. But a heart that filled with anger, hatred, pride, bitterness, or evil, the kind of word that we produce will be very, very harmful. Maybe they are reporting somebody. You say, that is how he behaves. It's not his fault. It is your fault. You are still visiting him. Why are you going to him? Brethren, this shouldn't be. In simple terms, what I'm trying to say here is that the mouth reveals the condition of the heart. Therefore, if we want our word to change, we must first allow God to change our heart. Like I said, this is not just for the children. Our heart must be changed. Number two, death and life are in the power of tongue. Proverbs 18 verse 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
These verses teaches us that our words have great power and consequences. What we say can either bring life, it can either bring life, encouragement, hope, and healing, or cause discouragement, destruction, conflict, and hurt. If you go political, for those of us that read the news, a single man can make a statement through the social media in this world, and the entire, the cost of a barrel of oil, we change. Just a single something that is written, or just a single pronunciation. When we say the dead are alive, are in the power of the tongue, it doesn't mean that literally the tongue has the power to cause death or create life. Because what Solomon is emphasizing here is the enormous influence of our word, what our word can have, what we say, what it can cause. Our word can give life. If somebody is discouraged, somebody is confused, maybe somebody has been informed that, yes, from next month, from next week, from next year, your visa will not be renewed. And that person has come to you and you are telling him that, what is wrong with them in that office? Why are they always doing like that? We need not to speak this way. Your life can give life. Even that person don't believe. By encouraging him. Or somebody has been doing something, he keep doing it. Let me give you an example of going for road testing. This is not in your hand. It's in the hand of the officer by your side. Then they keep failing you and you are keep telling somebody who keep discouraging you. No, you have to do it more than 5 times before you pass. Why? You simply have to say, you can do it. Sister, God is with you. You can do it. Or, if you speak the word, I forgive you. I believe you. With this word that you have spoken, you have lifted somebody's life. Even if it's going down, because you have given encouragement, because you have said those words, you can do it. God is with you. I forgive you. I believe in you. That gives life. Praise the Lord. Your word can bring encouragement. A timely word can strengthen someone who is discouraged. Somebody who is already having something in his mind that, okay, I will not go to TBLA because nobody has come to greet me at home. And that person has told you, what is Pastor Abraham doing? After all, we engage him so that he can visit everybody. And that is what you say. Rather than say that, oh, Pastor is always very busy, this. You give some kind of encouraging word. Not something that will have petrol or fuel to the fire. So, a timely word can strengthen someone who is discouraged. Our word can destroy confidence. Sometimes, parents, this is for you. We criticizing our children. Constant criticism. Or we compare our children with, look at your mate. You are becoming, you take second position. And you are happy. Somebody has taken first. This kind of thing is discouraging. So, we should build confidence by making sure that we don't criticize. We don't pass insult and negative word that can create wound, that can wound the heart. We don't create this. Our word can create conflict. Angry or careless word can destroy relationship. We should try to desist from this. Because all these are coming from the power of tongues. This is what you pronounce out. This is what you say. It can create a conflict. There's issue between husband and wife and you are trying, rather than say, settle it. It's you that you accept that from your husband. If it's me, I will never do that. I will not take it. I just came from work and he wants you to prepare tea, wants you to prepare food. That is not encouraging. That kind of word can create conflict in the family. So it can destroy relationship. Our word expresses our faith. We can use our word to proclaim God's word and promises and encourage others. What am I saying here is that from whatever you speak, how you speak, if I'm on phone with somebody among my colleagues in the office, if I say, praise the Lord, you know what? They say, that is your church member. So they already know. Because these are the kind of word. Or if I see somebody that I know that is somebody who understands the same language, I'm going to say, praise the Lord. Oh, are you a Christian? Let our word, let it continue to proclaim the word of God. So, word can heal. It can also destroy. Word can encourage. It can also discourage. It can build. At the same time, it can do what? Break. So many young people today casually use the word, maybe when you are talking to them among their friend, oh, I'm dead. Or their friends is just talking, they are talking, oh, kill yourself. Or there is an argument or whatever, I hate you. Or you are useless. These are kind of words that kill. These are kind of words that can discourage. These are kind of words that don't create life. These are kind of words that can bring death to us. It doesn't have to die naturally or physically, rather. Spiritually, our word, the slang, or all the languages we speak can cause death spiritually to someone. Even when we are jokingly saying such word, such word that can wound deeply. Instead, okay, what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes we joke, but at times people misunderstand our joke. That is why we always trying to say the word that are encouraging. Children of God, instead, let God want us to speak hope, blessing, encouragement, and truth to the life of people. Before you speak any word, ask yourself this question. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Will it build up or tear down? Does it honor God? If all the answers are yes, then you can go ahead to do this, to say that word. I'm telling you now, all this, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Will it build up? Your brain will process this within a fraction of seconds. We process it so that by the time it comes out of your mind, there will be nothing like, I die no. I die no will never be our portion in Jesus' name. Point number 3. Let's pick an example from the scripture now. Daniel refused Babylon's culture. That is from Daniel 1. We all know that Daniel lived in Babylon. Babylonians want him changed. They want to change him. They want to change his name, his education, his culture, his language, his identity. But Daniel refused to compromise. Daniel 1:8.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
But Daniel refused to compromise. Today Babylon is what? Today Babylon that want to change us. So that, children, please take note. These are the things, because I'm not going to the story of Daniel now. If you don't remember that story, go back and read Daniel 1, you will understand better. Today, Babylon is social media. It's the social media that want to change you, that want to take everything that you have had from your parents, from the church, from the pulpit here. Today, Babylon is social media. Peer pressure. Celebrities. We want to copy what the celebrities are doing. These are the things, the Babylonians that want to change us today, the influencers, all those ones that you see in advert, the ambassadors of the companies, these are the people that some, I'm not saying they are all bad. Get me right. Anything that is going to make whatever is in your heart to be corrupted, that is what I'm saying, that you have to do away with it. The worldly entertainment is also part of the Babylons that is available now. So many youth copy speech. We copy whatever we see. I was talking to somebody, which is not even part of our church, when I was preparing this. He was talking about emoji, all those kind of stuff. I don't know. When, if you give thumb up, is what it means, smiling face, all those of things like that. He was trying to explain to me. But at the same time, Sometimes when we copy some of these things, many of us we copy, we don't know what it means. I'm afraid to do that because my children will say, "Daddy, what is this?" Because I don't know the meaning. And when they do, I ask, "What is this?" So, parent, because you get WhatsApp messages, you just click something, especially in the group. People that understand, they will, "What is wrong with this sister? What is wrong with this brother?" Don't let us copy. Many of you today, we copy speech. We copy dressing, attitude, and jokes. We copy them. We should not be a carbon copy. If we are going to copy, let us copy what glorifies God. The question you need to ask yourself, what you are copying, does it please Jesus? So Daniel remained different because he remembered who he belonged to. The same thing I'm telling you now, remember, always remember whom you belong to. Let's move to another character in the scripture. Number 4, Peter's speech identified him. After Jesus Christ was crucified, Peter was making mouth. Initially, he was trying to say, "I will do this, I will do that." But sin changed. He went to hide initially, but later. Now, let's read Matthew 26, verse 73.
And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you."
You see, let somebody look at you and say, ask you a question, you must be a Christian. Because your attitude and speech, what is coming out of your mouth, will portray your picture. We show to the people that, yes, this is a follower of Christ, this is a believer. You don't have to say it. In this case, the people told Peter, "Surely, you also are one of them because your speech betrays you." He might have been hiding somewhere among the crowd. Because Peter was trying to hide his connection with Jesus. But his speech and manner revealed who he really was. Your speech, how you speak at times, identify where you belong to. If you are the type that speak anyhow in the office or in any places, you are speaking, some people are passing by, they come back and look at you. It is your speech, it's what you are saying. It might not even be how you dress, but what you have spoken out, that is what has revealed you. So, Peter's speech revealed who he really was. So, your speech identifies your association. Can people tell you that you belong to Jesus when you speak? Or do you sound exactly like someone else? Or people question your faith when they even know that you are a Christian, ask you, "Are you sure you are a Christian?" Because they know how Christians behave. So Christians should not need to announce their faith if their speech already reflects Christ. It is much more easy. You have argument with somebody. Even though you are right, it's wrong. And you quickly say, "Okay, I'm sorry." That single word, we dove the tension. Maybe not always, but if you say you are sorry, let that person leave. He will go back and process it. After all, he's right. I'm wrong. That kind of person can come back to you to say, "I'm very sorry and apologize to you." So, as Christian, our speech should speak for us, not as we have to declare. So, as Christians, our words, attitude, and actions should reveal that we belong to Christ. Even when we are not talking about our faith, people should be able to see Jesus in the way we speak and behave. Children, when you are among, especially when you are in the school, you don't have to be a carbon copy. Let them know that, yes, you are serving a living God. Let them know that you belong to this faith, that Jesus Christ is the only way. And I pray that God will continue to guide us in Jesus' name. Sometimes, we feel guilty in our mind. We are feeling that, can I really meet up with this standard that Pastor is talking about? Can I really meet up with this standard of what I've been hearing from the people? I'm a sinner. Let's look at the next character, Isaiah. Isaiah experiencing cleansing of his lips. Isaiah 6, 5 to 8.
So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
Yes. Isaiah said what? Send me. Children, I'm standing here today. The call will come tomorrow. Whom shall I send? What will be your answer? Send me. But something is stopping you. Something is keep coming in your heart. Now let's look at what happened to this Isaiah. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He confessed his sin. All you need to do is to confess your sin. And this confession was before God. That is, before God sent him God first purified his lips. God understand. That same God, when you confess your sin, is ready to purify your heart, your lips, your mind, your soul. But sincerely, you have to release yourself that God, just like Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." So many young believers who want God to use them. But because of what keep coming in their mind, because of what they have done, you need to confess before God, and God will purify your heart, your mind, and everything that concerns you, and your lips in Jesus' name. So Isaiah saw God's holiness. When we truly encounter God, we become aware of our own weakness. When you truly engage God, you become aware of your own. Isaiah confessed his condition. He did not hide it. You need not to hide what you are passing through, your condition that you know. Because even if you deny physically, your mind will keep reminding you. You need to acknowledge it before God. And what follows? Practical challenge for children and youth. Yeah. This week, I want you all to replace complaint with thanksgiving. Replace insult with encouragement. Replace gossip with prayer. Replace vulgar word with scripture. It has been written. This. Quote. Replace it with that. Replace worldly slang with that. Worldly slang that dishonor God with the word that honor God. Become known as someone whose speech brings peace. Whenever there is conflict, let them know that what you are going to say will bring peace. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What Paul is saying there is that Paul is teaching Christians to be careful about how they speak to others. Our words should not be harsh. Our words should not be rude or harmful, but should show grace, wisdom, kindness, and truth. Speech with grace means speaking kindly, respectfully to somebody. Seasoned with salt means our word should be meaningful, wise, appropriate, not just empty, careless word. Know how you ought to answer every man means that you should learn to respond to different people with wisdom and understanding. In a simple time, think before you speak. Process it before you say it. Make sure that it reflects Jesus Christ, whatever you are going to say. Bring encouragement, don't bring destruction. So, as I round up, I go back to that promise of the month, which Brother Rajesh have already explained. Obey me, do what I say, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Live the way I tell you. Do what I command you so that your life will go well. Now, you can say you belong to God while speaking vulgar word. God wants you to obey him. If you belong to God, definitely you have to speak God, the word that brings glory to God. God says, obey me, do what I say. Therefore, before asking, is this what popular? We should ask, is this what pleasing of God? Not the popularity about the word, but you should ask. Does this agree with God's word? So the declaration for the promise of the week and the promise for the month. I may live in this world, but I belong to God. Therefore, God's word will determine how we speak. Our promise for the month tells us to obey God. And our promise for the week tells us to allow patience to complete God's word in us. When you are patient, you are not rushed to answer. You will definitely speak the word that glorifies God. Therefore, we are not going to allow the language of the world to control us. We will obey God patiently. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to lead us in whatever we do. And I pray God himself will continue to make us his ambassador in the mighty name of Jesus. So, children of God, before you speak, before you post, before you send that text message, before you comment, before you make a share, ask yourself, will Jesus be pleased with this word? If your answer is yes, boldly post it. If your answer is yes, boldly say it. But if you have doubt, don't post it. May God bless his word.
That was for Pastor Francis. Please do it for Jesus. Put those hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a word for the season. Thank you so much, sir. That word was not only for our teenagers. It was for every one of us. It was for every one of us. Because at the end of the day, you are what you say. You become what you say, because God confirms our word. And so, we are not called to speak like the world. We ought to speak like the kingdom we belong to. And that's the kingdom of Christ. Our citizenship is of heaven. Hallelujah. To round up, just to reiterate, we have to think before we speak. In other words, he quoted James chapter 1, verse 19. Let us be slow to speak and be quick to hear. It's not everything we hear or see that we copy. Let's be quick to copy what the Bible says. Copy what the Word of God says, than looking to copy men. For therein do we have God's glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we are going to rise up this hour and pray before we round up. In Matthew 12:34, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mind speaks. You are going to pray and say, Lord, I commit my heart to you. Let my heart be saturated with your word, with your presence, so that I will not speak like the word speak. But I will speak what your word says per time. Open your mouth, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I open my heart unto you. Let your overflowing power fill my heart. So I will speak like you speak. I will speak like you will speak in every situation. But not like the word speak. So I will be able to emulate you and to copy you. Not to copy the generation, what they are saying. Gen Z, millennial, whatever they are saying. But to copy you. Paul said, be ye imitators of me as I am imitator of Christ. Help us, Lord, to always imitate you, to look at our lives and see whether we see Jesus in our lives. Thank you, Father. Let's pray for his servant that he has used, that God will continue to enrich him, continue to empower him, continue to strengthen him and increase his anointing. Thank you for your servant you have used even right now. We bless your name for using him. May you continue to endue him more with your word and with power. We give you all the praise. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.